This is an important one for all you soon-to-be and already established mothers. On today's show, Dr. Leah and I get really gritty about the process of becoming a mother and the opportunity of amazing transformation that can take place from it, but sometimes does not, due to lack of support, improper expectations, and overall societal failure at valuing mothers and children in general. We use two posts to guide the conversation, each detailing an aspect of how coming into and through motherhood carries with it important steps of pain and challenge that are good and purposeful and okay to feel. I can't wait to hear your thoughts on this one.
Welcome to Healthy as a Mother, the podcast for becoming and being a mother, with your co-hosts, Dr. Leah Gordon and Dr. Morgan McDermott, two naturopathic doctors who get it.
Each week, we teach you how to be the healthiest mother you can be, from fertility and preconception to pregnancy and birth prep, through postpartum and throughout motherhood, empowering you with the natural health guidance and education you're not getting elsewhere, so you can confidently navigate the broken system at large.
The real, the raw, the untalked about. And remember, this information is not intended to diagnose, treat, or manage any disease. Always consult with your doctor before making any changes.
The metabolic needs of pregnancy, postpartum healing, and making breast milk require more minerals than in other times of your life, and staying truly deeply hydrated during these times is very important. Nowadays, there are more options for this than ever, and ingredient quality and manufacturing integrity is very important for Dr. Leah and I. That's why we love Redmond Relight electrolyte powders. Mined in the USA, Relight contains Redmond's ancient unrefined sea salt with 60 plus trace minerals in addition to the appropriate proportions and forms of calcium, potassium, chloride, and magnesium that pregnant and breastfeeding moms need. Pregnancy demands a huge increase in blood volume and synthesis of an entire new baby, and that requires, you guessed it, minerals. This is the perfect blend to be sipping on during your labor or to have mixed into your bedside water bottle during breastfeeding. It tastes amazing, and my favorite flavors oscillate between mixed berry, strawberry lemonade, or lemon lime. Grab a sample pack option to try them yourself and use code HEALTHYMOTHER for 15% off your order of any of the products that Redmond has to offer, including their OG sea salt, other seasoning salts, natural toothpaste, bentonite clays, and more. Happy hydrating!
Okay, we are back again. Yet again, here we are.
Hi, hello.
Hi, hello. Dr. Morgan is going to lead us in a really amazing conversation about the motherhood transformation and some of the more, I wouldn't call it esoteric, but not as like physical, you know, bleeding and those kind of things, but more, not even maybe mental, emotional, but like more than that, like a deeper transformation. Yeah, spiritual and just like, gosh, like what is the word for it? We'll come up with
like
it at the end.
Philosophical maybe side.
Yeah, like all of it wrapped up into one because it's all connected. But I think it's going to be a really cool conversation. So why don't you share a little bit with what kind of inspired you to have this conversation in the first place?
Okay, well, first of all, happy birthday, Leah. Oh, it is your birthday. You are 35 and you live down the street from me in Idaho, and it makes me so happy. And you have two kids and two businesses, and you're just such a badass. And I'm so happy that you were born 35 years ago today.
So weird. I
just love you.
Thank you. My parents forever, when we were kids, I would always be like, wait, how old are you on your birthday? You know? And they'd be like, 29, like always.
Yeah.
So I talked to my dad today and I was like, how does it feel that your daughter's 6 years older than you?
There you go.
He's like,
did he get it?
Yeah, he did. Okay. It was like, that was the age that they were every birthday for like our whole life. And now I'm like, why would they pick 29? I feel like that was like a weird
My mom says the same thing. Literally, still every year, she's 29. It's so funny.
Yeah, that is really
I think
funny.
Just transitioning into 30 felt really old back then. And now it's like 50, like even 40.
I know. I was like, 29 is like your baby. What's going on? Why did you pick being a baby?
Peter Pan syndrome.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, well, today I just wanted to talk about the sort of philosophical idea around transitioning into becoming a mother. And it's timely because Chappell Roan, who's a big musician, she sings that like Pink Pony Club, whatever. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't. I probably would recognize the sound, but I don't know.
Pink Pony Girl, or something like that. I don't even know.
I don't know it.
Oh my goodness.
We
are so not hip and cool. If you heard it, you'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. Either way, she's young and she was in an interview
recently, and somebody was asking her if she's going to have a family, and she's a lesbian. So she was like, I don't know about my wife and I, like, where, if we'll be able to get married, because like laws are, you know, maybe up for changing, and which is really sad because they should absolutely be able to get married. But anyways, I think that the next phrase though completely shocked me, and I wanted to bring it up because she was talking about how none of her friends who have children are happy, that they're all in hell, and that they all, like, none of them have light to their eyes, and that they seem just like so miserable. And I think there's a lot of this like rhetoric right now that's going around that's like anti having children and the younger groups and the younger populations. And I think it's trendy. I think it's sort of just this thing that's blowing through social media, whatever. But it made me really sad too. And I wanted to be like, come to my house. Let me show you. Like, come over. Because maybe just in the circles that you're running with, you're not seeing how amazing this can be. But I also feel like if you're not seeing or hearing voices of people who are experiencing like amazing life-changing transformation in this process and are seeing it as a huge gift and opportunity to like level up yourself as a person, then yeah, some of the mundane, just day in and day out aspects of parenting, it is really hard. You know, and then there is a huge, in America, there's a very vast lack of cultural support for young families, for children, for people who have children, for, you know, with unpaid family leave kind of stuff. And so I get it, but I wanted to have something to out there so that people who are not vibing with that or maybe want to have their opinions changed can listen to something inspiring. So I'm not calling her out saying that she's like stupid. I get what she's saying. I just wish that she could maybe see some of the, be around people who love motherhood and who love their children, and to see that there is like so much benefit there. Because so I made a post about it today, and what I said to her was like, I'm sure that in your pursuits of becoming a musician, you've had sleepless nights and that you've lost the light in your eyes at times because of the hustle, but it was worth it to you and you would never take it back. And it lights you up every day and you love it and you're so happy you're there, but it's not without sacrifice. It's not without high highs and lows, low lows. And that's how motherhood can be too. Like, it just, that's the same thing being, you know, there's ultimate creative power in becoming a musician. Like, how amazing and what an awesome thing to do with your life. And same thing with being a mother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. It's like your creative expression. It is not without its sacrifices and also its like amazing joys and wins.
Yes, exactly. And it is really hard sometimes for periods of months, you know, and I think that's, we've all been there or at least known someone who's been there where they've had maybe some sort of like actual mental health decline because of having children or in the time period of having children. And I think a lot of that though is because our society doesn't set us up for realistic expectations of what's to come. Mm-hmm. And we think that we can really manage and balance it all and just do it perfectly. And it's like, that's kind of not the point, but also there's so much wisdom in what is actually happening. And I found this post a while ago, and I want to credit the girl who made it because it's so good. I screenshotted every slide and I'm going to kind of summarize them for you. But her Instagram handle here, I'll put it in the show notes too, but it's Claire Fagan. And so Claire, thanks for making this because you really got me thinking and my world wheels turning. And really it was like a grand remembering moment because I was like, yes, like, you know, when you read something that just resonates so hard and you're like, mm-hmm. That's so beautiful. And there's so much power in that. There's so much power in these things that we do that are hard, mm-hmm. that offer lessons and transformation, and you have to rise up to the occasion. And there's nothing like that, in my opinion, like parenting, because you will just never be more challenged in certain ways. I think whether it's the pregnancy, the birth, the postpartum, later on in the parenting teenagers, like whatever it is, there's going to be something in that process because it's so huge and it's so inextricably linked to like just, you know, perpetuating the species. Like, and us as women, we're the ones that bear the children. And so then we have this like much more intimate experience than men will ever be able to have because we are the ones that grew them in our body and we feed them and, you know, they are literally of us. And so we are just so much closer to this. Not to say that men can't have these transformations as well, because I do think that they do in becoming, you know, fathers and all of the stuff that goes through their, you know, mental, emotional, spiritual, physical form because of it. But, you know, it's inarguable, obviously, that it's much heavier on us. So mm-hmm. Let me kind of like summarize mm-hmm. these slides and then we'll talk about it, because you have to know what I'm talking about in order for, so I'm just going to kind of read them off to you. So She says, and I love this. I just love it so much. Okay. She
says, you are having a mental orgasm in that nice pink sweatshirt of yours. You look great. And
okay. This is in my color palette. Color. I would have never bought this color.
You need to buy everything in that color.
Had I not gotten my colors done. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you should go get your color season analyzed by somebody who knows what they're talking about. Because when I say who knows what they're talking about, it's like you have to have this sort of professional eye to be able to look at someone and do all this stuff with their hair and their skin and their tones of their skin. Are they cool? Are they warm or whatever? And we did it this summer and it is so much fun. And I'm very much attracted to muted, soft, earthy, natural tones and colors. And so that's what I would always buy to wear too. And it's not that they're really bad on me necessarily, but they definitely are not my power colors.
Yeah, this is a power color.
Yeah, my power colors are much more saturated and colors that I was kind of afraid of and not something that I would ever in 1 million trillion years picked out for myself had I not gone and done this. And now I've been more intentional to experiment and I get compliments all the time now when I wear my colors because it really does make you look better.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great for anyone who wants to see what Dr. Morgan looks like. Go to our YouTube channel.
Yeah, there you go.
You can see. Anyways, I don't want to interrupt you. Okay.
So and then hit subscribe and
subscribe and tell a friend to go look at Dr. Morgan and her pink power color.
And if you live locally in Idaho, go to Skin Owl and have Annie or Ariel do your colors. Okay. Anyways, so this is what Claire Fagan's Instagram carousel had said. It said, the discomfort of pregnancy prepares us for the discomfort of birth, and the discomfort of birth prepares us for the discomforts of motherhood. As a society, we are so uncomfortable with being uncomfortable. We desperately try to bypass discomfort, and we measure our success by how well we are able to do so. I see this happening in both medicated and unmedicated birth spheres. Whether you plan to medicate or medicate yourself into a pain-free birth, whether you plan to medicate or meditate yourself into a pain-free birth, we are still making the avoidance of pain the goal. And I love that because it's so true. It's like, you know, with hypnobirthing or literally like pain-free birthing techniques, there's still no pain in those scenarios. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, okay. Then she says, by making the avoidance of pain the goal, we are missing the point. The point is the pain. The point is allowing it to be there for all that it is. The point is to let discomfort be your teacher, to let it work for you, to allow it to move you. Pregnancy requires us to stretch. Birth requires us to shatter. Postpartum requires us to sort through the pieces and rebuild. It is uncomfortable for a reason, and this discomfort is where the growth happens. It's part of the perfect design. And I love this. This is like, this next part is huge because when you become a mother, you just know. Like, if you know, you know. When we think we can't be any more pregnant, our babies decide to wait a few more weeks and we continue on. When we think we can't handle another contraction comes anyway and we breathe through it. When we think we can't be any more tired, our babies call out for us and we answer their call. When we think we have reached capacity, our capacity expands. Like, mic drop. That is literally all of motherhood in one sentence, right? Okay, last slide. She says, as you move through pregnancy, dream about birth and prepare for postpartum. Plan for the discomfort. The discomfort is where the transformation takes place. The pain is where we meet our truest selves. Let it crack you open.
Wow. That's so good. That's like a poem. You think
that it is a beautiful poem.
She wrote that?
Or is it a poem? I think she did. She wrote it up on some slides one day.
Published that or something.
I know. She really should. I would buy that. It was like on a beautiful piece of paper with like a cool line drawing of a belly. Claire. We'll give you a market if you make it.
Gift idea.
So I just think that that is so amazing. And I know I'm biased and so are you in this, but it's like, who wouldn't want to be a part of that? Like who would not want to be like challenged in this beautiful way that is also very much like needed for us to live biologically. Like it's all such a perfect system. It's such a perfect system for women to become their highest best selves. And yes, like with any situation that offers that sort of jump up, or there is also a jump down where it can pull us down, it can pull us under. And I've been there too. And so I think that's why I can speak to this too, or why I can say this with such confidence, because I have been in like the actual hell of parenting. Like I really have. I've had two postpartums that were one was just like really sad and anxious. That was my first one. And one was really dark. That was my third one. And I think at times, not the whole time, but you know, in certain moments. And for you, it's been in your pregnancies. Mm-hmm. And it's like, at some point in this path, no matter where it is, or if it's getting pregnant, you know, the couples, the infertility mm-hmm. journey, yeah. which has also been part of your journey.
So synonymous to infertility. Not that the pain is the point, but that, because I think that the pain is the point in like the pregnancy, birth, postpartum, because we're physiologically designed that way. Like, why would we not just be designed to have pain-free births and like no struggles? You know, we're not meant to struggle to get pregnant, I don't think. But I feel like the lessons that can come out of that and the people that we're chiseled into because mm-hmm. of those experiences, I don't know. It just, it's so much. It's everything. And even like someone listening to this who maybe doesn't have kids, for me, that experience was in entrepreneurship. And I remember I was talking to an entrepreneur friend before I got pregnant. And she's like, you know, you might find motherhood easier than other people, because you've already gone through so much of this transformation, this hard stuff with like building your business. And it's sort of like my first baby, even though businesses are not the same as babies, but it's like anything that pushes us and is hard and challenging and makes us go inward and makes us, you know, pull on the pieces of ourselves when we don't think we can. And then we realize that we can. And then it instills this confidence that we approach life and everything differently versus the person who's never had any struggle at all in their whole life. You know, they're just going to be a very different person, and everything that comes at them is going to be handled very differently. And yeah, so I think it can apply to multiple things, but motherhood is probably the like utmost one.
Yeah, no, that's such a good analogy, or not analogy, but example with entrepreneurship, because if at some point, you know, a teenager, obviously there are people who have extremely hard lives and it's really sad and they have a lot of trauma. But if it's sort of a Joe Schmo average typical experience of just like going along in life, and then you maybe go to college, maybe don't, but you just get a job and it's not your own business. You're not really being challenged to figure every single thing out and then, you know, face your demons of feeling like the imposter syndrome and then putting yourself out there and being really courageous to say like, hey, here's this thing, I'm selling it, or come use my service. Like, there's so much inner growth that has to happen to face those fears. That's very hard. And if you're putting yourself in a really vulnerable position again and again and again, and then you fail, and that's like totally normal and part of it, but it sucks. And then you think this is going to work and then it doesn't. And it's so much trial and error, and it can be just very exhausting. But then, you know, you like eventually, usually, like they say, I used to love the show America's Next Top Model in high school. And Tyra Banks always would tell the girls that she was denied like 11 times or something. The first like 11 times that she tried to get a job, a gig, they were like, no, your eyes are too big, like rah, rah, rah. They just like kind of made fun of her body. That would be such a horrible experience.
Yeah.
People commenting so negatively on your body when you have like no control over it, you know? Mm-hmm. But then she got a gig, and then, you know, it was obviously one of the very top supermodels in the entire world. And It's like, that's such a humbling thing to hear, because I think we think people just jump into these things super successfully, and there's always trial and error. And with motherhood, it's this process that we're usually all experiencing on one level or another, but nobody talks about it. And everyone is just experiencing it in their heads and in their souls and in their body. And then maybe if you have good mom friends and you guys can talk about it together, then there is processing and community there. And that's what I think is so important and so needed and missed in our current society. And why it's really important. I mean, the best way to do it is just to have mom friends that you connect with. And if you're like, well, how do you go when you get mom friends? It's easiest probably when your kid is at the age where you can go to a park, and then you literally mom date. You literally start talking to somebody random who's, maybe you know whose kid they are, maybe you don't, but you're just like, you make some sort of casual comment, you start talking, you see if you vibe. If you do, you ask for their phone number.
You're the queen of this. It's so good.
Because it's so important. It's like, I mean, literally, that is how I've met. Or, you know, you go to some sort of a class, like a sing and sign language class, or like a little baby gymnastics class, or a stroller striders, like where you're pushing your babies in the stroller in the park and like whatever. But we have to find people who are in our time of life. Like, think about your friends. Like, people don't usually have friends outside of like maybe family-based friendships where you've just known them for your entire life. Typically, your friends are going to be in your similar age group, and they're going through the same kinds of things that you are. Mm-hmm. otherwise it's just hard to relate with them. That doesn't mean you can't keep your non-mom friends. Obviously that you can. But if you are going to be an entrepreneur and you're starting your own business, probably if you meet somebody who's also starting their own business, you're going to connect on that level. You'll forge a friendship and then you'll be able to have that to relate to. Same thing when we enter motherhood, we must have friends that we can be like asking questions to, getting solidarity from, being able to give advice if maybe your baby is older than theirs or whatever it is. And it's literally life-changing. I don't know what I would do without my mom friends, because also there's all this processing of this transformation that I'm talking about that's happening. Yep. And just when you think you can't anymore, you just do. You just have to. There's no other choice. No one is coming to rescue you. No one is coming to take the baby back. Like, the baby is here. And not that you would even want that baby to be taken back, but I understand too the idea of, you know, wanting a long extended break sometimes from our children. And that's okay, because we were never meant to do this in these kind of isolated realms that we are right now. There was always hands on deck, more hands on deck, and people to give you breaks and to help with these different things, and so that it wasn't always us. And so in a certain way, although our modern life is way easier in a lot of different senses, in a certain way, our modern motherhood, though, we are like so rogue and robust and like gnarly in our abilities to just like keep doing this when it was never intended to be just like one-on-one or even two-on-one, like a mom and a partner and a baby. Like, that even was not the case. And even if your partner is extremely involved in the caretaking of the parent of the other kids or your one kid, whatever it is, still that was not the way that this worked. Like, it was a community event raising a child, because the community saw value in that kid inherently, just because, obviously, because it's a beautiful little bouncy, addicting baby, but then also because they're going to grow up and become a new community member that's going to be functioning in society, that's going to keep the tribe going. And this is where it's kind of wild. This is where like older countries in Europe and other places and, you know, South America have much better practices and respect and understanding for families, people with young children. I think that it's just they're older, they're wiser in that tradition where they are not bothered by the sounds of children at restaurants. They're not bothered by children just being children in public spaces. Whereas in America, I feel like there's a very, I don't know, you know, it's not like it's the worst ever, but there's no, like, okay, for instance, in Portugal, if you are pregnant or you have small children, if you're in a wheelchair, if you're older, and then there's another one. There's a couple of these like qualifying things, but you can cut to the front of any line. And if there is like a waitress or a hostess at a podium standing there and you're waiting in line to for a restaurant, she will like be scanning the crowd and the line and seeking out these demographics of people and like pulling them from the line and pulling them up front and being like, no, we're going to seat you first, because they value their elderly. They value their disabled. They value their pregnant community members and those that have small children, because they know that these are time periods of life that it's like respectful. And it would also be really nice to skip the line in these instances. And when you're not in those phases of life, you're not grouchy and bitter when that kind of thing happens. You look at these other people with reverence and you say like, yeah, go ahead. Like, of course, you know, just as we do on the bus or something, if somebody elderly comes or somebody pregnant, it's like you move, you stand up and you get off you're not in that phase of life right now. That's not how your body is. And so anyway, that's just like one example of how current American culture doesn't have that, obviously, but there's so much reason why I think we have it almost like worse as modern mothers. It is no secret that most women are not getting adequate protein in their daily diets. Protein is essential for all major body functions, including hormone production to maintain a healthy regular menstrual cycle, and the need for protein only increases during pregnancy, postpartum recovery, and nursing. When it comes to collagen supplements, it can be overwhelming to choose the right one, but let me make it easy for you. The Needed Collagen Powder is my top recommendation for a high-quality, easy-to-mix supplement that supports your body in so many ways. Each serving provides 15 grams of collagen, delivering 8 of the 9 essential amino acids that your body needs. Collagen plays a crucial role in tissue repair and strength, thanks to the key amino acids like glycine and proline. It's important in supporting natural collagen production, which can decline due to hormonal changes in pregnancy. It promotes joint health and comfort during pregnancy, aids the postpartum tissue recovery process, and it supports healthy hair, skin, and nails. The needed collagen powder is grass-fed, sustainably sourced, and rigorously third-party tested for heavy metals and completely tasteless, making it easy to mix into coffee, oatmeal, or smoothies. Head to thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER for 20% off. Again, that is thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER for 20% off.
Totally, yeah. And I mean, it's tricky, like you're saying, you know, there's the pain of pregnancy, the pain of birth and postpartum, and it's for a purpose, which we can come back to. And then also there's this level of that's hard and it shouldn't be like so hard, especially after the baby's here, where we just as a culture aren't supporting that. So then, you know, you're talking about these women who are saying that it's miserable having kids and they're really struggling. Yes, a part of it is our culture doesn't set us up to see the benefit in struggle. And also there is so much struggle that there's not a lot of support that it does. Like, I think a lot of mothers go down that path. They're all they're thinking is like, what am I going to color my nursery? Or, you know, what crib am I going to buy? And then they're just rocked by whatever their experience is, whether it's a hard pregnancy, a challenging birth, hard postpartum. And then they're thrown into a culture that doesn't necessarily support them, whether that's with, you know, time off with work or, you know, partner support or community support. And so it's like they feel like they're drowning and they can't get up and they can't support. And then all the, you know, mom friends are so important, like you said, like absolutely essential. And then it also depends on the circle of people that you surround yourself with, because there are, you know, we're so blessed and I feel so blessed that I've always seemed to attract really amazing, inspiring female friends. And yes, it's hard. And it's like, this sucks. And they just sit there with you and they say, yeah, this sucks. This is hard. No matter what you're going through, whether it's, you know, a chronic illness or infertility or motherhood. But then they also have inspiration or maybe a positive outlook to bring as well, versus just sitting and like wallowing in a sad hole, you know? And that's where having other people around that are inspiring or that have this wisdom, or even just like a woman who's maybe not in your season of life, but came slightly before to prepare you for that so that your life isn't as shocked. We've talked about this a lot on the podcast, that suffering a lot of times is your experience and your reality is different than your expectation. And that's what creates suffering. And I think we just don't do a good job of creating that expectation and that reality of the realness of the hardness of it, even though it's so beautiful and amazing. And so I think when it happens, you're in the silo, you don't have any support or friends necessarily, or you don't have this wise voice in your ear that's preparing you for that. So you're like, oh yeah, I knew this was coming. Like, no one's going to climb Mount Everest and be like, I had no idea. You know, I had no idea that this was going to be hard. Like, I just thought I was going to climb up a mountain. It's like people who go to climb Mount Everest, they know it's going to be hard. They know it's gnarly and they train for it and they prep for it. And the people who do it, it's like you're in a different headspace because you know it's going to be hard. And I've never found any desire in wanting to do things like that. But the people who do think it's worth it. And it's the same thing with motherhood. We just need a different culture to say, this is what you need to prepare yourself for.
Okay. I love that you brought up Mount Everest, because it's ringing true with like the other thought that I had about this, which is about coaching. So like when you're talking about, yes, okay, there's this like beauty in the pain. And then I kind of went off on this diatribe about like how it shouldn't be this hard, right? But it's like, no, but even if it shouldn't be this hard, because we shouldn't be in such isolation. But even in those scenarios, when people were very supported and they were living in multi-generational households, there is still a transformation that comes with becoming a mother. Mm-hmm. And the difference here is just like with a child, like I literally just had this experience with my son 15 minutes ago. He was trying to build one of those like engineering boxes and he just kept getting so frustrated and he wanted me to just do it for him. And then he was going to like quit. And then he started to pack up all the pieces and he's like crying. We're having this whole moment. And it was hard for me to not just be like, no, you're going to do it, you know, whatever. But I was like, okay, let's just take a deep breath. Let's like whatever. And to coach him through, like I just had him, he wanted me to do all the pieces. I just like was pausing the video that was teaching him how to do it and then having him do it. And then like little by little, supporting him through this hard transition so that then he gets the confidence in himself, because he still was doing it, supporting him through it. Yeah. And that's where we're not having this with our current situation, but we did in the back in the day because we were supported through it. We had the first 40 days of postpartum were where we were like kind of waited on hand and foot and brought all of our meals. And then we could talk with our aunts and sisters and mothers and grandmothers and whatever about the breastfeeding pains and the sleep and the what was it happening, so that this transformation, this amazing, beautiful thing of like the butterfly and the cocoon coming out into the world as a butterfly now was supported. We still had to do it. Mm-hmm. Like this is birth too. Like this is why doulas are amazing. And it was just National Doula Week. And it's like, I literally have never, ever met anybody ever, not one time, who said, damn, I just wish my doula wasn't there. Like no one says that. Okay. Everyone goes, oh my God, I can't believe I maybe almost didn't have this doula. The doula was the real MVP, like whatever, because we need support. And if you think your midwife or your OBGYN are going to be your support, it's like at the very end that they're really that supportive, but there's a long time of labor that you would maybe need support for. And so in the process of these hard things, when we're going through something really hard, where there's no one else who can do it for us, we have to be the one to do it. And we want to be the one to do it because we don't want to like pass off our power to somebody else. Like there's so much beautiful benefit in being able to do this. But if we have somebody holding our hand, multiple people ideally who are like, you got this, you can do it. Like, I believe in you. I'm here for you. Yeah. It's like the solidarity, all of the support, blah, 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 whatever, the wisdom that they can shine on us saying like, you know, you'll get through it. Like I remember, do you remember Megan McBride in medical school? Okay. I used to look at her and she has five kids. Yeah. She had her fifth kid during our first year of medical school. And I was just like, what in the world? Like I would look at her like she was a superhuman. I mean, she is a superhuman. And then towards the end of school, we started to get into these like Marco Polo chats. We'd have these like really long chats about motherhood and all sorts of different things. And she just had so much wisdom because she had teenagers and she had toddlers and she had been through it all. And she was in medical school. And I was just like, I don't get how you're doing this. And she's like, you just do. You just keep doing
it. That's what people with twins say. I'm always like, yeah. How did you do it? They're like, you just do.
Yes, because you don't have another option. And we are so much more capable than we think. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's hard to see that capability unless it's reflected in the eyes of others. And when others can hold up the mirror to us and they can say, no, you can do it. And guess what? You're going to. You're going to. I did. She did. She did. She did. All of our ancestors did. That's why you're here today. It's okay. You're going to be okay. I know it feels impossible. It feels insane. But you will literally just continue to level up and then continue to level up and continue to level up. And when we do that with support, it is such a different feeling and vibe, and literally probably on an epigenetic DNA level, something is happening in our bodies that is beneficial, where when the exact same scenario, if we could go back in time, if we had a crystal ball and we could take that exact same woman in that exact same situation and give her no support and see what happens, I bet you anything, the epigenetics are on the negative side. They're ticking off all of these genes that we don't want to be happening. And now she's in chronic disease, anxiety and depression, you know, autoimmune diseases that were sort of predisposed are now flaring, and metabolic issues and like whatever, and co-infections are flaring, and all sorts of different stuff is happening. And it's simply because of this lack of support, which, do you remember in college watching that documentary that was called Us or We, or do you know what I'm talking about? Where like it was all about human connection and how humans are like
Yes.
What was that called?
Yeah. What, didn't we watch it in a movie theater and they like poke someone's eye and then everyone's like, ah! And then you're like, that's a mirror neuron. And we're like, I hated that.
Yeah, so they showed it like at our college at CSU, Colorado State University.
Gosh, yeah. We go way back, Morgan and I.
We do go way back.
School, regular college.
I know. We were like 19 when we met.
Yes, I do remember that. That was really powerful. Oh, we should watch that again.
Oh my gosh. Okay. It's a one word name. Whatever it is, I'll put it in the show notes when I find it. But it was really good. And it was all these like little science experiments, not little, but I mean like all of the evidence basically that shows how humans are hardwired for connection and that working together in community is one of the things that makes us like very unique from other animal species. Mm-hmm. And that it's literally a requirement of our biology, like to not live in community or to not live in a situation where there's another C word that's not community, but it's like
a collective.
Yeah, like where you're working with people, you're being like
collaborative.
Yes, a collaborative species. Yeah. Yes,
all the C words.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks. Context clues. where it's like we have to. And when you look at the blue zones and all the rah, 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 all the places all around the world where the people live to be 100, like, you know, in a significantly statistical amount, that is one of the huge components, is that they have a community and that they feel important still and that they're contributing, collaboration, collective, yep, community. There's all these C words, but they're so important to humans. And I think throughout motherhood, we are just severely dropping the ball with this, mm-hmm, because it is such an opportunity. It is such a beautiful time for someone to become extremely empowered in who they are and to step up into that and feel this like very deep level of confidence. This is what I try to teach in my call, in my 6-week pregnancy call in class, is like the beautiful side of motherhood and all of the things to be prepared for so that we can have this experience of being very, very like life. Your life is going to completely shift and change for the better. Like, yeah, ignore all these other people. Maybe not, don't ignore them, like hear them, but then like look at the other situations that are going on in their life and then understand that that's probably why that was the way for them or mm-hmm, whatever it is. Because it's like, yeah, that it would be like someone who didn't train to hike Mount Everest being thrown on Mount Everest and being like, what the actual F? Yeah,
with no food and no water, yeah, because that's the support, right? Or a Sherpa or yes, whatever it is, like the support is needed and it's impossible. No one's going to win.
No one's going to feel like that was cool or fun. They're going to be like, that sucked.
Yeah.
And then they're going to come home and they're going to complain to all their friends, guys, climbing Mount Everest totally sucks. Totally. Don't do it.
Yeah. I love this. I think it's so important because, and I think I'm trying to paint analogies for people, anyone listening who's maybe hasn't been through motherhood. We talked about entrepreneurship, but I know that's a small minority, but maybe exercise. Again, this isn't my world, but you know, people who are running marathons or anything like that, where there's so much of an acceptance in our culture that exercise is hard. You know, it's going to be hard, but it's worth it.
Yes.
And you get all these amazing benefits, feeling good, having energy, you know, looking a certain way, like whatever it is that exercise gets you. And it's so hard. And we wouldn't thrive unless we're supported in that. Like we have someone who we can, you know, drive to the gym, or we have someone who's helping us with meals, or I don't know, not everybody has support with exercise, but I'm just saying like we have to have support in the sense that the hard thing, like doing the hard thing is the point. Like that's literally exercise. Yeah. It is meant to be hard. If you're like, I want to exercise, but I don't want it to ever feel hard. It's like, okay.
There's no transformation that comes from that. It's like, what's the point? Yeah, there's no benefit. So this is the thing. Living a soft, easy life is boring.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't get anything. You don't have anything from that.
You get nothing. You just live this little like slug life. Like, no.
Yeah.
No. Don't do that. When people have no adversarial, this is like the rich and the famous. They get all this money.
Yep.
They have anything that they want at their disposal and nothing has any meaning. There's no meaning anymore to working hard because you don't need to, because you have all the money, or like, you know, saving up to buy something. There's no meaning in that. There's no meaning in like having certain stuff because you just get anything you want at any given time. And this is why their like addictions go completely wild. And then, you know, even with sex and weird stuff, they just have to push it more and more and more because nothing stimulates them anymore. And then they get depressed and kill themselves. Like that is what happens, because that is not the way that we are meant to live. We are meant to live where things have inherent meaning and value, and we are challenged, and it's okay to feel challenged. It's really hard though in situations where people are challenged again and again and again and again with no support.
Yeah.
And then exactly, it's like that is sad, and that is not the way it's supposed to be. But we have an opportunity in postpartum and pregnancy and breastfeeding and you know, all of throughout motherhood, of holding each other up and supporting each other so that this transformation has this like positive vibe and effect through it. And sometimes it is ourselves. Like, you know, I was thinking about with your exercise analogy, sometimes it's us pulling ourselves up through by our bootstraps, and mm-hmm, we are kind of alone and we just have to like do it. And then there's pride and confidence that we can feel in that too. You know, there's people who mm-hmm, like do body, like what was it called? Like competitions, like because they lift weights, heavy weights.
Those people, I don't know.
Or like CrossFit games or whatever. Like people, you know, and there are going to be people who've never hired a trainer, who've never had anybody else meal prep for them, and they just do it all on their own and they're totally self-taught. Okay, that's the idea, like being self-taught. And those people are far and few between. We look at them with a certain kind of like, whoa, cool, wow, that's amazing, because it's rare, because most people need support and that's okay, and also want and wish for that kind of like camaraderie or, you know, whatever it is around them. But like, you know, there will be people that do that and it's fine. But I guess I just think that like this idea that going through something hard, like because having children is going to change your life and it's going to be hard, so let's just not even do it.
Right.
Is missing the mark on all sorts of levels, because it's like, okay, yeah, have you literally never done anything hard before? Like, have you never done something that was hard but worth it to you? Like, you just like, want
to learn how to do pottery because it's hard. Let's not stand up and walk outside because it's hard.
It's hard, right? It's like you've never challenged yourself ever with anything, like because it was going to be worth it to you.
No, I think it's so important. I think this conversation is incredibly important. And I just want to piggyback on that. I don't know why I keep coming back to sports, but like the Olympics.
That's so funny because you hate sports.
I'm not even in sports. I like it totally. But I'm just – I think it's something people – I think sometimes it's hard for people to understand. We – okay, like people know more about the Olympics than they probably know about becoming a mother, which is really messed up.
Yeah.
You know? Like it's really messed up. Maybe not me as much because I'm just not into sports, but – okay, look at any Olympic athlete. They have a coach, every single one of them. There's not one person that's like, no, I'm just alone and I've never had any help ever. Like, you don't get to a level of excellence like that. And in motherhood, the level of excellence, in my opinion, is like peace and happiness. And, you know, the hard stuff, it's not like it's going to be without hardness, like you said. And the hardness is what chisels us into the person that we are and that we need to be. And it also, it creates, it's not pride as much as, I don't know. Mary talks about this. I totally have a crush on Mary. Mary, if you're listening to this podcast, come on our podcast.
Wait, Mary, what's her last name? Say it.
Mary Ruddock.
Okay.
Yeah. But she is the one who studies traditional cultures, you know, like way, way traditional cultures. And she talks about how young men, their bonding is through vasopressin. And vasopressin is a female bonding is more through oxytocin. And a male's bonding is more through vasopressin. It's a different hormone.
Is it still released by the posterior pituitary, vasopressin?
I think,
or one of those. That would just be interesting because like they both are coming from the pituitary.
Yeah, but she said that young men, the way that vasopressin goes up, which creates bonding, is that they have to go out and do a hard thing. Like they have to go into the woods and like build a thing and survive for like a year on their own or something crazy, which I know that's not like support, but that's different because they're men. Not that men don't need support, but they just have a different wiring. But they get their vasopressin through doing hard things. We get our bonding hormone that makes us feel good. So vasopressin makes them feel good. They want to come back. They choose their mate and they like mate for life. She's like, you never see infidelity in traditional cultures. Like everyone's so happy. There's hardly any mental illness. Like there's so much love and happiness. But these little kids at young ages do hard things. These boys go do hard things. And the women, their bonding and what makes them happy is connection. And it's community because that's oxytocin. So you don't get oxytocin by going out and doing a hard thing by yourself. You know, like that's vasopressin. That's for the men. That's why they go out and like hunt and gather. And women stay home and stay back and like commune. And yes, I know we're in like the 21st century and it's like women can do anything men can do. And I get that. But at the same time, I think that's part of what's in our culture that makes motherhood hard for women. Is that we grew up, at least in our generation, to be like, no, you can do everything a man can do. And like, you know, go have this job and do all these things. And like motherhood is almost like a side thought. Like, oh, well, when I want to be a mom, I'll just do it. And it'll just be a thing that I tuck into all the other things that I do. And then it rocks their whole world. And they didn't have the community set up or the support or anything like that, because that's not necessarily what the male brained focus of our society has. It's more on that vasopressin, like do hard things kind of underlying theme. So then motherhood is the first time when we actually need that support. We actually need everyone around us. We actually need help with that transformation that is hard. That's our hard. You know, that's our hard of going out into the woods and building the shelter. But it's actually a different kind of hard that we go inward, you know. And then there's like this community that has to come around us. So I don't know. I just thought it was really interesting because – in their world, the hard thing is what creates the beauty of their tribes.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
and
I love
they
that.
Say that the man, when he goes out as a young kid or whatever, like a teenager, that's what creates his vasopressin that creates his connection where he comes back and chooses his wife. And then with a woman, it's birth. It's like, that's her hard thing. her hard thing that like makes her this like super valuable member of their society is that that's her hard thing, but that there is so much community and connection around it. So I don't know.
It's like the walkabout or, you know, the rite of passage ceremonies in any of the cultures where it's like, you got to go do something to sort of like prove yourself. And I feel like that is more the situation with men. I looked it up. Vasopressin is released by the posterior pituitary as well. Okay. So they both are, which is so interesting. Yeah.
It's like one of those hormones we learned about in school, but no, I never put it into my memory because I don't do a lot.
Well, it's just interesting that they both come from the same place, but like for men and women, it's just different. And I love that you said, you know, we were taught, millennials is interesting for us because we were very much, the message was you can do anything. Mm-hmm. You don't need to rely on someone else for your income. You can have it yourself. And I understand where like the intention was there so that we didn't get into a situation where we like had to rely because that didn't go well for some people. And, you know, as a parent, you don't want your daughter to be like beholden to some sort of a scenario. You want them to feel like they have financial freedom and whatever. I get that. But yeah, the message was always very much like, we are going to work full time for our whole lives and then somehow also cram in motherhood.
Yes, exactly. It's like, what do you want to be when you grow up? This is like, I call back to this all the time. I remember literally like they would give you sheets in school and mother was never on that sheet.
Oh no, never. Not absolutely.
It's like, oh, you want to be a mom? Okay, well, and a mom. Like I'll have engineer with a side of motherhood. Like what? Yes. Like, instead of I'll have motherhood with a side of, I don't know, something. But I get it. Like, I understand all the reasons too. Like, I totally get it that Matt was my family and I love my dad. You know, you don't need a man. You can do your own thing. You can be anything you want to be a doctor. Okay, daddy, I will, because I want to make you proud. Right. And then it's like, oh wait, we never had the conversation about motherhood. But my mom was actually so great too, because she always said, do what you love and the money will follow.
Oh.
But then at the same time, it's like in motherhood, that's not necessarily the, you know, it's not like you become a mom and the money just starts pouring. So it's just different, you know?
It's so cool.
I know. Because it is work. Like, being a mom is so hard.
Oh, and it is work.
It's a job and you don't get paid for it. And so a lot of times women, it feels tough. It's like, oh, you want to work? Yeah, you get to work two jobs. And not that saying being a dad isn't hard either. It totally is. And especially in our household, like, we very much parent 50-50. But yeah, it's like I can imagine these young women who are – you know, they go to college forever, try to get a job, working really hard, trying to survive in this crazy world. And then they become a mom. And it's like this job that takes now 60 to 80% of their time and they don't necessarily get money from it and there isn't support. And I could see how that could feel like, whoa, this is crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. It's crazy that we expect that to just work and we don't give. Because and then, you know, when
on a pedestal, like motherhood is not put on a pedestal.
Exactly. And then when you talk about maybe putting in structures for like, you know, a federal law of some sort of basic maternity leave or something, people just absolutely lose their shit. They're like, no, it should be based on the employee. And it's like, okay, well, do you understand though that you'll like never have, like, what if when your male employee had spine surgery, like, are you going to just make him come back to work? Like, obviously it's not the same thing, but I just don't think that we put value or reverence on what a woman who's raising a newborn baby is doing. We don't value it. We don't care. We're just like, no, just go put him in daycare and then you pump and then you're fine. And it's like, okay, I'd like to see you do that and not feel emotionally and spiritually completely shredded to be separated from your baby. Mm-hmm. Like, as if it doesn't matter, as if there's no value in the mother baby being able to be together for the first year, which I think on all sorts of anthropological, you know, studies would show and the benefit of that. Like, there is value in what, you know, stay at home moms are doing. And I just don't think people understand how, like, continually outsourcing the raising of your child to daycare and preschools and like whatever it is in those little years is not like what the goal of the society would be. We have to do it right now because we're in a dysfunctional society, because we do have to work to incomes usually to make one household work. But this is dysfunction. This is not like, cool, humans are really doing a great job. I can go put my baby in daycare. Like, your baby needs to be with you, ideally. And I understand now, like, you know, some people are going to listen to this and they're going to be super offended. And they're going to be like, cool for you to say and rah, rah, rah. Yo, listen, we completely changed our entire life and moved to Idaho so that we could list. We have made so many sacrifices. We do not make very much money. We are, like, very much putting for us – mm-hmm. the being around our kids constantly as our top priority.
Yeah.
We could be doing different things. My husband could have climbed the corporate ladder multiple times over and has not specifically so he can be home with our kids because that's what we value right now.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like, mm-hmm. I get it. And at the same time, you can make choices that are different, but also don't be mad at me. Be mad at the system because mm-hmm. it's true. It like, you know, there's this researcher, I forget what her name is right now, but she's been making all this content about daycare. And how, like, it, you know, daycare in and of itself isn't necessarily inherently bad. It depends on the daycare. And whenever I see stuff, I'm like, yeah, of course it depends on the daycare. If the daycare is filled with, like, loving grandmas who are actually going to be, like, really sweet and attentive, then sweet. But that is not the reality of what's happening in a lot of daycares. Mm-hmm. And we have to be really picky and choosy because little babies need constant holding and attention. And they're just not going to be able to get that in a lot of situations. And we need to value being able to have mothers stay home and be financially okay and not completely gut their savings account because they decided to make more people for the community in the future. Like, that is not a, like, self, oh, you decided to make kids. So you, okay, Karen, who do you think is going to take care of all this other shit in the future if there's no other people here? Mm-hmm. Because right now we're in the birth dearth. The birth dearth, D-E-A-R-T-H, is that the birth rate is not replacing the death rate. And so we are going to be in kind of SOL at some point here. And I just, that in and of itself, it's really, really hard. This is why society should never be as large as they are. But, you know, whatever, we're here. We're not going to go back to tribes and villages. But tribes and villages, anthropologically, were between 60 and 300 people. Because that was sort of like the human number that could maintain itself and work and have enough people to kind of, like, keep it going and stuff, but then also, like, matter and care. And this is where, you know, when we're talking about stress reduction, which I know you like to talk about a lot and it's super important, it's like, we are not meant to hear about every horrible thing happening all over the world. Like, that is not something that our human psyches can handle and take in and not expect mental health issues after that. Like, it wears on us. Like, we cannot, because we never, ever did. We were never responsible for all of the hardships of that many, of 7 billion people. And now we are.
Especially new moms. As we talk about the motherhood transformation, especially pregnant postpartum moms should never be watching the news, you know, because it's such a delicate time. And she did go through something really hard and she needs the community and support because she's going through something hard. But you know what isn't looked at from our society as something hard? Her experience, because there are children dying in this country and there is war over here. And how dare you want to go take a nap, you know? And it's like, oh my God, no wonder we are struggling because, yeah, in a tinier society, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, like, I imagine, like, my neighborhood being a society, they'd be like, oh, Leah just gave birth. We all should, like, bring her food. And wow, she needs to be napping right now. She's the biggest. She's dealing with the biggest stress of our community right now. She needs all of our support. Not like, I don't have time to take care of that pregnant woman down the street. There are people dying in another country that I've never met, you know? And, like, that is, like, people are so fatigued by all of the stuff that they don't have the capacity to even care for those in their own community.
Yeah, literally in their neighborhood. Like, how many people do you actually know by name in your neighborhood? Like, probably not that many. Actually, you kind of do know a lot of them.
No, I feel like I don't know anyone in my neighborhood because everyone in my neighborhood. Well, Mike does. I don't think – oh, we know some Mikes because everyone's Mike. But our neighborhood, for some weird reason, is just very, like, not – I grew up, though, in a very connected neighborhood.
Well, no, but I think your neighborhood is – that. My point was to say, like, you probably don't actually know very many people because I think that that's sort of normal now. Like, my childhood house, my parents still live in. And when we were growing up, we'd have, like, block parties all the time. I knew everybody. And now I'm like, I mean, I don't live there anymore, but my parents still don't even know who a lot of, you know, they know some, but it's like, wait, what? That we've lost this connection to our, you know, immediate surroundings and culture. And this is a problem I have with myself where I don't know how to kind of, like, reconcile these two ideas because what's that called? Like cognitive dissonance, maybe? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, I see the value so much in the physical. I mean, and I do have friends and like rah, 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 whatever. But what I'm building online is like a disconnect. That's online. Yeah. It's online and it's disconnect. But it's like, I'm trying to build this sort of like online village for support for people, for mothers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still very much removed from what would be the most ideal, which would be local.
Yeah. And even that is a great step in the right direction because a lot of women don't have anywhere to go. You know, they don't have anyone to talk to. But yeah, it's like ideally it would be in your community. And yeah, there's like so many things that I wish
it's ideal to be like literally sitting in the energy of other people, like the actual vibes. It's because of energy. Like when people have good vibes, when they say that, it's like because you literally feel good being around them because you're perceiving their, you know, energetic body, their frequency.
Yep.
And there's a lot of benefit in that too. But okay, one other thing that I wanted to say about this is that there was a post, another post. So I'm going to put both of these in the show notes, the links to the post. Maybe that's how I'll do it. This is by Elle Breggy, which if you, yeah, she's got a big account. But she's talking about, I thought it was on par with this. And so I wanted to bring it in here too, because it's a nice way to a little end, I think. It's this idea here. Let me just read it. I don't know how to say it any faster than just reading it. So it says, when I talk about the tender yet magical time during postpartum, I always use the visual of being on a boat surrounded by mist that is in between two lands. The one behind you is your old life prior to birth, and the other land is your new life. At first, you might not see it because there is mist blocking the view. Soon it will start to clear and you will see new land ahead and eventually get off your boat and walk solidly onto new land. The trick is to be on the boat and not try to paddle back to what was, as much of that is gone. If you push too hard and get to the other side, you will miss out on the important steps of learning about, forming healthy attachment, establishing breastfeeding, and bonding with your new baby. Your body also needs time to heal from not just birth, but all the other changes that it went through to make and carry this baby. How long will you be on the boat? Some women, a month. Others, 3 to 6 months. And for some, a year or more. So don't compare yourself to others, as they are not you and they are not raising your unique child. I can promise if you allow yourself to just be and drop in, you will come out the other side more healed, confident, whole, and vital as a mother. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's just really I think all transitions suck.
Yeah.
Being in any form, I mean, think of one transition
moving
of any type in life that doesn't suck.
Yeah.
Being in between businesses sucks. Being in between relationships sucks. Being in between
schools, like I'm thinking as like a teenager, like things people relate to, moving houses, moving towns.
Yeah, being an adolescent is a huge, long, slow transition that sucks. Like, you know, just being like going through puberty and all that kind of stuff. Like being in literal birth transition sucks.
That's what we call it. Breaking up with people.
Yeah. Like I mean,
even marriage to some extent, even though it can be really exciting, there's also a lot of like readjusting and learning your new life with a new person. Like, yeah, transitions are hard.
Moving to a new house, a new state, like whatever. Yeah, it's any kind of being in the in-between where you're not in your old life, but you're not yet in your future life,
mm-hmm.
and you're in this limbo is so uncomfortable and it totally sucks. And that is kind of how all of new early motherhood is, because every day your baby is a different baby and every day you are a different mom. And then just as you feel like you're finally getting the hang of something, it changes, you know, like they go through a leap or they get a tooth or they get sick or something happens. And then just as like, you know, you're starting to understand your body a little bit more, like your milk supply kind of changes physiologically, like the way that the milk is made, not necessarily that it's dropping and you're losing it, but just like something about that changes. You get your period back or like, you know, this is happening, that's happening. Now you're starting to exercise again and try to figure out like, what is this in my new body? And like, whatever. It's basically all one huge transition all the time. And there's something inherently about that that is just hard. It's super hard being on the boat and not being able to see your old life and not being able to go back to your old life, but also not being really landed and grounded in your new life. And I feel like a lot of women will feel much more grounded in their new life when their baby's like 18 months old. Yeah. I think that that's kind of like a common time where like the mist clears, if I had to pick one time for most people.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like she says in this post, sometimes it's going to be faster than that, but there's going to be maybe little mist, little storms along the way as you're still rowing towards that new land where you're going to, maybe you're like, okay, for a little while, and then you're not. And then, daytime, nighttime, nighttime. Because that's how it felt for me. Like I've been in so many – I never had like the experience of being in the mist and then just all of a sudden it cleared and it stayed cleared forever. For me, it's always this like, there's storms that come, you know, whatever, but I'm like here on my new island, but then it's as you have more and more kids, you still have to go through that again. And when I say new mom, like when I'm talking about that term, I don't mean like first time mom. I mean anytime a woman is having a new baby, because you are completely new,
a new mother.
Yes, you're new and born again. You've never raised that baby. You've never had that birth or that postpartum. It's always different. And yes, you have this wisdom that you get to carry with you. Thank God. You don't like forget it all or something like that. That would suck. But it's still a totally new experience. And so we still continue to go through this like over and over again. And I heard a Joe Dispenza quote the other day that said, wisdom is remembering something that happened without the emotion.
I like that.
Like, whereas like when we think back on something and we have a ton of emotion about it, like if we're triggered or something, then we're not there yet. Like we're very much still kind of at like the claws are in deep from whatever that emotional experience was. But wisdom is to be able to look back on things and just like not have that emotion and kind of like move forward in that. And I think that there's a lot of benefit there of having future further kids, because you do get to experience feeling that like sort of sense of confidence in that. Yeah. But anyway, I just wanted to bring up all of this.
Scars, not wounds.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. They've scarred over and they're always there. They're always going to be a piece of you, but it's not like it's a bad thing. That's one thing that's a recurrent theme in all these fantasy books. It's so funny about the scars of the people. Oh my
God. What, that must be something psychological.
It's in literally every book
that they choose. That's like, this must be a thing that this person is scarred.
Yeah. And some kind of like obvious place, you know, on their face. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and that they never want to get rid of them because they just draw a lot of attention to them. But I think it's just because it's physical signs of where you've been. And this is kind of like with motherhood too, there's often always some level of permanent change to your body, whether that's something really obvious like stretch marks, mm-hmm. or if it's something more minor in like, or not maybe minor, but not as visibly seen, but like something at your pelvic floor or mm-hmm. your diaphragm. Like for me, my diaphragm and my rib cage is like so different now, and it's really weird and it causes breathing stuff for me. Or like your feet are bigger, or like, you know, whatever it is, gray hair, something. But we can look at these things as beautiful signs of life. Like we have had experiences and we've done things and like we're badass. So anyway, okay. I don't really know how else to wrap up this episode, honestly. So
no, I think it's great. We leave you all to ponder. Talk about it amongst yourselves. Go get some women and have like a book club about the podcast. Dissect it, break it down. I don't know.
Yeah, because it's just, I don't know. I think it's nice to hear. And for people who are entering their first experience of motherhood too, hopefully this will be helpful and not scary. I hope none of the stuff that we put out is
that's
scary.
One thing that I want to know, or what I want to leave with for anyone listening who is not yet a mother or is maybe new in it. You know, a lot of women during our infertility would tell me about how hard motherhood was. And I was just like, oh my God, I don't know if I want to do this. I don't know if I want to go through all this. Why am I trying so hard to make this happen when everyone's miserable? But it's just because for so many women and people in general, we don't really process the good stuff. We're not like, oh, I need to talk to you so badly about how happy my life is, you know? It's more like, I'm really struggling and so therefore I'm reaching out, or I'm really struggling and so therefore it's on my mind and I'm talking about it, because in the good times, we don't necessarily feel the need to share all the time, even though we should more. Mm-hmm. And so for anyone listening, just know that all of the pain, all the suffering, everything that you go through, pregnancy, birth, postpartum, all the motherhood, you know, stuff, is so worth it, in my opinion. That has been my experience.
So worth it.
I would never, ever, ever, even with the hard times and like my baby's not sleeping right now and that sucks because it's like, wow, I would love to sleep. And I go out and look at him and I'm like, your face literally, I can't. You make me so, I just want to eat him in such a good way. And he's just the very best thing. And there's no joy like having a baby in my experience. So it's worth it. The good stuff is worth it.
It's also really hard to explain the good. Like, it's so hard. And it's one of my favorite things about friends Because I had kids like really quite young, and I don't even really remember having thoughts about that process being like, wow, I'm really jumping into this, but we just did it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But so for me, for waiting for my friends that haven't had kids yet, like when they do and then talking about it with them and they're like, you are so right. It's the best thing in the whole world. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, yes, isn't it? Like, tell me more. Tell me all your thoughts. Like, it's my most exciting thing to hear everybody's thoughts about it, because it is hard to explain and nobody really talks about the good side of it, but there is something that is just, it's, you want it. Let me tell you that. I'll just tell you that you want it and you'll never go back. Like there's no way to go back, you know? So No matter where you are on this journey, if you're entering the process, if you're on the boat right now and you're struggling, if you're kind of like already past this whole thing, but this is like relatable because you're like, oh my God, yes, that's exactly what was going on. We hear you. We feel you. We see you. We are you. Mm-hmm. We are literally in the middle of it all still. Yeah. And we just appreciate you guys all being here. So thanks.
Yeah. Thank you.
Are you pregnant or trying to conceive and looking for reliable, engaging education around how to have a healthy pregnancy and prepare for the future aspects of motherhood to come, like birth, breastfeeding, and postpartum? Well, then look, I've got you. This is exactly the education that you'll receive with my 6-week pregnancy call. You get access to my most comprehensive resource of everything I wish women knew before heading into motherhood. It's simultaneously a pregnancy health course, birth prep series, breastfeeding 101 course, and postpartum planning class all in one. And now it's available not only during our live rounds, where you get tons of one-on-one support from me and a small group of like-minded women, but also in a lessons-only format. The lessons-only version of this course is just that. It's all of the content, but it's without the Q&A calls and without the group chat. This version is available on my website at all times too. So log on to www.milkmedicine.com/lessons-only to check it out, or you can go to the show notes for the link. I hope that you'll enjoy it. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Healthy as a Mother podcast. In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and send to a friend who could benefit from this content. We're so excited to share more on becoming and being a mother next time.
And please remember that the ideas and views of this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to serve as a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis or treatment of any illness or disease. Consult with your provider before integrating this information into your own care plan. And remember, a healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.